بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters, one of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us is the fact that we can repent, seek forgiveness, earn the forgiveness, earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we change our ways and habits permanently, Allah says He will convert that bad which we did or used to do into good on the right side of the scale on the day of judgment. So to put this into perspective, what it means is that if you used to do bad or you have done bad, and not only do you seek the forgiveness of Allah, but you leave it for the sake of Allah. And nothing would make you leave it unless you have a connection with Allah, unless you feel that you need that bond with Allah, and unless you realize the status of Allah. So if you have left your ways that you may have had, or you have quit it and changed your life, Allah says, I love that so much. The realization of insan, the realization of mankind, when he turns to me seeking forgiveness after having sinned for a very long time, I love it so much because he only did it for me, only for me, that I will take those bad deeds and convert them into good deeds, because it was very possible that he could have continued doing it if he did not want a relation with me. Subhanallah. So this is one of the favors of Allah that we don't realize. We all have weaknesses. We are all bashar. We are all human beings. Human beings falter. Sometimes we make more mistakes than sins. And sometimes we make more sins than mistakes. What's the difference between the two? When I'm saying mistakes and sins, a mistake is something perhaps you might not have planned to do, and you fell into it. I bumped into a car. It's a mistake. It's not a sin, right? But when I intentionally want to ram into someone's vehicle in order to do something that is criminal, that becomes a sin. You see the difference? So the same applies if you planned not to get up for Salatul Fajr, then that is something sinful. But if you overslept even after having set the alarms and having planned to get up, that is a mistake. So this is why there is a difference between the two. As for the mistake, Allah Almighty can forgive it, even if you may not have had specific repentance, depending on what exactly it was. Minor sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at times even without you seeking the forgiveness, because when you do a good deed, the bad one is automatically wiped out. You make wudu, the hadith says, when you wash yourself in preparation for prayer, that water, the droplets that actually fall down, with each droplet, your sins are falling down. That's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's very important to realize all of this is the favor of Allah. The favor of Allah upon us. Imagine if there was no tawbah. Imagine if you committed a sin, you have to pay for it, whether you say I'm sorry or you don't. Imagine if that was the case. Now, some people have a misunderstanding regarding the issue of shirk. What is shirk? It is association of partnership with Allah in worship. When a person engages in shirk, there is a major, major concern, because if that person dies in that condition, what would happen is Allah has issued a warning. He says, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik liman yasha." Allah forgives, or Allah will not forgive, association of partnership with Him. But besides that, He will forgive whatever He wills and whatever He wants to forgive. That verse is very clear. It appears more than once in the Quran. Allah has that warning in several places in the Quran, in some places worded a little bit differently. But the misunderstanding is that if a person commits shirk, are they always not forgiven? Bear in mind the verse is only talking about a person who died without seeking forgiveness from shirk. So if you and I were to die right now, I'm sure there might be some sins we haven't sought forgiveness of or from, right? If you die right now, I die right now, Allah says, I may forgive you. I may forgive anything and everything you've done. Allah has His own. He's the most merciful, the most kind, the most forgiving, the most unique, the most just, and what so many qualities that are amazing, superb qualities of Kamal, qualities of the highest level of that particular quality. They belong to Allah. So if Allah is most forgiving, most merciful, most kind, most loving, we have a lot of hope. But if a person dies right now, Allah says, I can forgive anything, no matter what it is. It's up to me. That's why it's important to have your personal relationship with Allah. Your personal relationship with Allah, it's your secret. Have some communication with Allah. Something, you know, when you do something wrong, talk to Allah. Say, oh Allah, forgive me. I'm wrong. I'm insan. I did this not because I defy you. You are my maker. I have no option but to go to you. But I'm so weak. I ended up doing this. I feel embarrassed. Forgive me, O Allah. That's your connection with Allah. Your personal private relationship that no one knows besides you and Allah. Do you know that? There is nobody on earth who can know you better than Allah. In fact, it goes a level higher. Allah knows you better than yourself. Allah knows you better than yourself. So ask Allah for guidance, He will guide you. Ask Allah for goodness, He will grant you. The problem is, if a person has died and they engaged in shirk and they have not repented from it, that's where this question comes about. To say, will Allah forgive such a sin? He says, no, I don't want to. How and why? I have no option. I have nothing to tell you because I just have to read to you. This is what Allah said, and it's full stop. It stops there. I can't explain to you beyond that. So please be careful. Something dangerous. But the good thing, you and I are breathing. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us for the sins we've committed knowingly, unknowingly. Astaghfiruka lima la a'lamuhu. I seek the forgiveness of Allah for that which I might have committed without even me knowing. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'an a'lamuhu. Oh Allah, I seek protection, refuge in you from shirk, from committing sin of association, of partnership with you knowingly. And I seek forgiveness for that which might have happened unknowingly. Allahu Akbar. May Allah forgive us. So there we are covering ourselves. Allah Almighty says to us, you are alive. For as long as you are alive and you are breathing and you have your consciousness and you are conscious, you can seek forgiveness. Allah will forgive you. Allah says, when you seek forgiveness, I get very happy. Why would Allah get happy? Today, I want to explain to you why Allah, who does not need you, would even become happy that you seek forgiveness. He doesn't need to be happy, but He tells you, I get so happy. There's a hadith that actually explains how happy Allah gets. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you why He gets happy. Because Allah created the angels. The angels do not have the capacity to transgress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created shaitan. Shaitan, out of his arrogance, sworn enemy, he will not obey Allah's instruction. That's why he's called shaitan. You know, shatana in the Arabic language, that root, it is derived from one who is away from the obedience of Allah, one who actually catapulted himself out of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He came out. He doesn't want. He knows Allah. Shaitan knows Allah. Shaitan knows what's right. But his arrogance made him think he's higher than man. However, all of that was a plan of Allah. Why did he do it? We only have the answers from him. We can't go into it deeper than what Allah said. If Allah said, I created man because of this, He created man because of this. If Allah says, I created shaitan because of this, He created shaitan because of this. I created the angels because of that, He created the angels because of that. You and I are believers. We believe. And for your information, today, I've said this 3 times in the last few days, I have to say it again. Today we have artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence can comb through the whole of whatever is available online. Everything, every book, every Bible, every Quran, every Torah, whatever there is, every website that has it, I mean, and everything completely, the discussions of whatever there is on earth. And they've come up with artificial intelligence, various platforms. The probably one of the most reputable of them is known as ChatGPT. You might have heard that, right? If you were to ask, and there are people who have asked, non-Muslims and Muslims have asked ChatGPT, tell us about the most authentic book in existence, it will tell you the Quran. The Quran. Tell us about the faith that is the most authentic, you say Islam. What about Christianity? It will tell you whatever it wants to. It will still confirm Islam. So much so, there is a sister who said, well, would you be Muslim? So ChatGPT says, yes, if I were a human, I would be Muslim. And I'm telling you this because look, who are we? Even if you didn't have knowledge, forget about it. Just ask if you know. I'm not saying it's always correct, but in this particular instance, it's backing. The evidence is backing, wallahi. I should be thankful to Allah that I didn't need all of that. I believed it without all of that. Allahu Akbar. It reminds me of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He became known as As-Siddiq because when Mi'raj happened and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went up to the heavens and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him and favored him in a billion and one ways that night, he came back to a warm bedding and the kuffar were saying, do you know if anyone were to do this and to claim this, would it be true or false? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, well, if he is claiming it, then it's true. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. If he is claiming it, then it's true. It reminds me of Ibrahim alayhi salam. When he was instructed to sacrifice his son, when he was instructed to leave his family in the desert and go, a wife and a child and nothing with them, no water, no drink. He says, if it is Allah instructing me, I'm walking. He started walking, subhanallah. So without any need for any evidence, without any need for any explanation, it did not make sense to Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice his son. It did not make sense. But he says, you know what? I know where the instruction is coming from, so I will do it. That resulted in him becoming Abul Anbiya. He became the father of all those messengers to follow. You and I, if we sacrifice, Allah tells you to dress in a certain way. Don't question it. Are you a believer? Yes. Put it. You know what to do. Men and women. I'm not talking about women alone. Men also, the boys also, sometimes nowadays we wear these half bummers that are really, really embarrassing. You know that. We are believers. Carry yourself with respect. You want a haircut? Beautiful haircut. Respect. You're a believer. You need to have good language. You swear F's and B's. No need for that. You are a believer on a very high level. You have a status beyond what you can imagine. You have a favor of Allah that you don't even realize the value of. You know, you don't need to swear. You don't need to cheat and deceive. You don't need to be a person who is abusive or belittling of others. You don't need it. You are such an amazing person gifted by Allah. Allah's telling you not to do certain things. The fact that Allah says don't do it, do not do it. See what it will do for you in your life. When Allah instructs you to fulfill salah, He tells you Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, at certain times, fulfill it as Allah's asked you. No need to ask, no need to doubt, no need to get, you know, a person who's justifying why they didn't pray. Someone says, you know, I didn't pray, but you know, like now I heard about, what did you hear? There's no excuse. There's nothing. No one who's a true Muslim can ever say that, you know what, never mind, you don't have to pray. Who are you to say that? When Allah tells you, just say, sami'na wa ata'na, that's it. And this is why when Allah looked at the hearts and the souls, the best and the greatest was that of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, created by Allah that way. Allah made him the final of the messengers, the most noble of all of them, the highest of all of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's the soul going into the blessed body. That is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, created as though he was made the way he wished to be. That's what the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said about him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best of the souls, made them the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why one of the most dangerous things to do is to talk bad about any one of the companions, because they were chosen by Allah to carry the deen. Anyone who starts talking bad about companions of the Prophet ﷺ, their aim is only one thing. Only one thing. To destroy the whole deen, because it was carried only by those people. If it was only carried by a certain number of people and you're talking bad about the main people who were there, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Aisha, Hafsa, etc., etc., your aim is only one thing, to destroy the deen. That's it. To destroy the true teachings of this faith. Why? How can Allah make such a big blunder to have 120,000 companions and only six of them were good? How can you say that? So we need to be careful, because we will not talk bad about any one of them. لا تسبوا أصحابي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. Don't ever talk bad about my companions. The Prophet ﷺ says it himself, and he said it at a time when some of the newer were speaking, saying one or two things about some of the older. He says, don't ever you dare say a bad word about any one of my companions. For indeed, if you were to spend Mount Uhud full of gold in the cause of Allah, it would not be equivalent to one handful that they spent, or even half of it. They spent at a time when it was most needed. Look at the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr, how many people were there? 313. Initially they went out, the intention was not even to go and fight the kuffar, but rather, do you know what was the intention? These companions were driven out of Mecca, and the people of Mecca stole their wealth and usurped whatever their belongings were, and they took that and they went to Asham, which is the Syrian region, and they were bringing back caravans with merchandise. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were given permission by Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they can go and they can get back what was theirs. Abu Sufyan was coming back with a group of people. The Prophet ﷺ took a few, not even well armed, but 300, a few people, and he went with them, and he ended up, subhanallah, right in Badr, because they changed the route and they went the other way and they decided to go back. You read the story, you probably know some of the details. The point I want to raise is that when they faced an army of 1,000 strong, heavily armed Meccans, superpower of the time, and these guys were 313, what did they have? Very few weapons, little bit, nothing much. They had an option. What do we do now? Allah gave them revelation to tell them, to calm them down. Don't worry. You believe, we will send angels to protect. We will send angels to fight. These people pitch up in Badr and they look at the statistics, see how many there are. They already started having a party. The war hasn't even taken place. And what were they doing? They were partying. Now, when you party, why do we tell our youngsters, don't go and party and drink yourself out and don't go and do all these things? You're a believer. You are higher than all of that. You are so high that you don't need to do cheap things to be happy. You don't need to do low things. You don't need to be on drugs. You don't need to go out and gamble all your earnings. You don't need all of that. In Islam is considered haram, because Allah says you are Ashraf al-makhluqat. You need to be higher than that. You don't just go and intoxicate yourself. The difference between you and animal is your brain. Why block the same brain? Allahu Akbar. These people started drinking and partying, and they were partying all night. In the morning when the war was taking place, they couldn't even look properly. They couldn't even stand properly. They didn't even know what was going on. And in a short while, the Muslimin had already won. They were shocked. What happened? You got knocked. That's exactly what happened. May Allah Almighty protect us. But the point I want to raise is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some good news. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, oh Allah, we are, as you can see, this number, meaning they were 313. If you would like to be worshipped after today, grant us victory. Allahu Akbar. What does that mean? There's only this. There's no one else who's going to come. These were the only people. Now I want to tell you something interesting. They were granted victory. And after that, later, someone spoke about one of the companions who had done something, who was from among those who participated in Badr later on. And people were talking, hey, this guy, did you hear what he did? He did this and he did that and maybe whatever. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us good news. He gave us news that every single one of those 313 who took part in the Battle of Badr, whether they were martyred or remained and died later or martyred in other battles, all of those 313, Allah was pleased with them and told them, do what you want from today because I've forgiven you everything. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ. Do as you please. فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. Because I have forgiven you. Allah looked at the hearts of the people on that day of Badr and He saw what they were ready to give for His sake. You and I are not ready to forsake the blanket for Fajr. Wallahi. You're not prepared to wear a thin piece of cloth for the sake of Allah if needed. You and I are not prepared to correct something that is not even giving your life. No one's asking you to sacrifice a son like Ibrahim alayhi salam. No one is asking you to participate in a battle of Badr. But simple things, we can do it, we should do it. We are high. Those companions, look at what Allah gave them. You mention any name, what do you have to say after the name? Radiyallahu anhu. Abu Darda'i radiyallahu anhu. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafata radiyallahu anhu. Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. And sometimes we would say also radiyallahu anhuma, because both the son and the father are both Muslimin and Sahaba radiyallahu anhu. Imagine the status. Now, don't you think that even though we were not chosen as Sahaba, and Allah knows why you and I are born in this era. We are born in this era. We are not born in the era of the Prophet ﷺ, but we are part of his ummah. Allah knows we are so weak that if someone came and told us this is haram, we'll say, I'll think about it. Astaghfirullah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Am I right? Sometimes the imam gets up or anyone gets up and tells you, you know what, brother, this is not allowed. Oh, sister, this, stop judging me. Oh, wow. You're getting so emotional. Relax. I'm only telling you what's right and wrong, man. That's it. Do you not? It's our right to advise, you know, but you hear how quickly they say, stop judging me. Allahu Akbar. I also want to add, please, when you correct someone, don't issue harsh statements. Do it in a beautiful way. You know, when you talk to someone, you don't tell them, brother, why don't you pray? You say, my brother, mashallah, we all need to improve, inshallah, when it comes to our prayer. I need to do better. You need to do better. Come together, we will do better. That's how you talk. That is hikmah. That is wisdom. When you belittle someone, they're not going to come. You see someone smoking, you say, haram. Astaghfirullah. Yes, we all know what it is. But you say, brother, you know, mashallah, Allah's blessed you in so many ways. My dua for you, inshallah, is, and for me. You pray for me for so many things. I pray for you, inshallah. You know, the habit of cigarettes by the will of Allah. Recently, someone asked me, hey, I no longer smoke, man. I no longer smoke. I said, oh, mashallah, that's a big achievement. Am I right? I was smoking for 15 years and I was smoking like a chimney and I no longer smoke. I said, oh, subhanAllah. A little while later, he takes out some vapes and he's puffing away like no man's business. I'm thinking to myself, I better keep quiet here for now because Allah knows best. You know, Allah knows best. So may Allah Almighty grant us ease. The point here is when you want to correct someone, do it in a beautiful way. Think hard. How would I like it? You want to tell someone, you know, that you need to correct this or that. Please go easy and then put yourself also inside that whole picture. Talk about your weaknesses also and then mention one or two things in a lovely way so that they can feel that, you know what, this person cares for me. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I said, we are not Sahaba because Allah knows if we were Sahaba, I think, may Allah forgive us, we might not have just listened to the instruction. When alcohol was banned, someone read a verse and the message went to the people of Medina. They didn't ask, is it true? Is it not true? I'm going to go. I'm going to ask. I'm going to see. They immediately spilled whatever they had to spill. Gone. Today they'll phone, hey, you know, I got this. I don't know. Is there any halal way of coming out of it? I'm going to suffer a loss. Maybe this. And that's how we talk. Let's be honest. That's how we talk. But look at that. They got a status. They won the dunya and they won the akhirah. Why did they win the akhirah? Because Allah chose them. Up to today, I've never seen Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but trust me, not only me, all of us, we love him so much that when someone says something negative about him, they are actually degrading themselves, not him. It's like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter what anyone says about him negative, Allah says, we've protected your reputation. They will never be able to damage it. It's impossible. It's impossible. You cannot harm the reputation of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all. You harm yourself. You might think it will cause a little bit of this and that. You might, meaning a person who's doing that type of behavior and engaging in that type of statements and so on, they might think, I'm going to cause harm to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They won't. Actually, Allah Almighty has protected him. Inna kafaynaka almustahzi'in. What a beautiful verse. Allah says, we have protected you from those who want to scoff and mock and joke and whatever else they want to do in order to degrade and belittle. It can't happen. We have protected you. In another verse, Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I tell you something, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had people standing with him. They used to stand while he was asleep and they used to take turns so that no one harms him. They loved him. A day came when he sent them away. What happened? A verse was revealed. Ya ayyuhar rasul balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatahu wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah says, oh messenger, get up and convey the message. And then part of that later on, Allah says, Allah will protect you from the people. They won't be able to harm you. How many times someone came with a sword and suddenly the Prophet ﷺ just leaned forward to see what's going on and the sword drops? How many times? There are incidents where things like that have happened. People intend to harm, but the harm actually came on them. Allah says, we protected you. We have protected you completely. That day, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, we heard a light snore from him. He had such a good sleep. No one was standing around him. No one was standing around. He had such a good sleep. They heard a light snore. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good sleep. Amen. So the point I'm raising is, look at the blessing of Allah on us. Allah tells us to turn to him. Allah tells us, repent, I'll convert it. Change your life, it's the day to change. You won't have gatherings of this nature so often. They'll happen a few times in the year. But sometimes you find Allah wants you to change, so he gets someone to come and stand and tell you, today is the day. You wanted to change your life, you wanted to do this, you knew what you had to do, today you got to do that. Make sure that it's done. That's it. I want a better life. Look at my brothers and sisters struggling in Lebanon, in Palestine, and so many other places across the globe. Do you think that we don't care? Wallahi, we care. Right now, there are teams working in Lebanon to help our brothers and sisters. And we're not going to go to them and say, brother, sorry, what sect do you belong to? Before I help, wallahi al-azim, you are a Muslim, you say the Shahada, I will help you. To the degree that even the non-Muslims, if we can, we will help them. That's who we are. We are Muslimin. We are taught. They will come to the deen of Allah by looking at who we are and what we stand for. All that becomes irrelevant. So remember one thing. You are not going to survive on your own in your small little cocoon. No. You will have to cooperate with the rest of the ummah, whether you like it or you don't like it, in order to get power. Because Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفَعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. Allah talks of kuffar. He says they support and protect one another. If you're not going to protect one another in a similar fashion, there will be chaos on earth. Hence we are witnessing the chaos today. It's in the Quran. Why is chaos happening? We don't care. This enemy has succeeded in making us into so tiny groups. Each one thinks I'm on the haq and everybody else is going to Jahannam. For them, Jahannam would probably be an empty place. No traffic, no nothing. Subhanallah. You'll be shocked when you go there. The people you least thought were going to be there will be there waiting for you. Allahu Akbar. It's going to be full, inshallah, with all of us. Ameen. May Allah grant us Jannah. Amen. Seek the forgiveness of Allah. Have a good heart. Have a clean heart. Learn to love people. There will be differences. Allah's created us. He made sure we are different. He made sure that everybody's understanding is unique. Your understanding and mine, your brain capacity and mine, your way of thinking and mine is unique. It's different. It's completely different. Why? Allah made it that way. He wants you to get a reward by bearing the interactions with one another. I'm going to meet you. You're a difficult person. You're tough. You've got a mouth that is very sharp, meaning a tongue that's really sharp, a mouth that wags and just keeps moving whole morning and evening. I'm going to be able to, inshallah, navigate through it because I'm also a human. Part of my duty on earth is to learn how to interact with people like you. Allah, sorry, I'm not pointing at anyone, by the way. But you know what I mean. It's okay. People will be different. Learn to love them. So what? He might have said one or two bad words. Oh, my brother, man. He's my brother in the deen. I love this person. That's when you develop your heart. Today, many people say purification of the heart. But their own hearts need help sometimes because you know what? A little bit of hatred and jealousy. That's it. It's over. Take it out. It's not worth it. Try to bring people. Try to learn. Learn to love people who don't look like you. Learn to love people who look poorer than you. Who might be a different race from you. Who might come from a different part of the globe than you. That is Islam. That's the beauty. People enter the fold of Islam because they see no racism in Islam. But racism is alive. But not a true Muslim is not supposed to be racist. But racism is alive. You see someone looking shady, coming from a totally different race. No importance. Another guy is coming and he's looking smart. Salaamu alaikum, my brother. We are Muslim. What Muslim are you talking about? Which Islam? Islam would have started with the other guy, right? You should have been fair with everyone. Come on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. This is the deen of Allah. And I say this as an ambassador of Abdullah Aid as well, that when we go out and help, we've been to Far East Asia, we've been to Africa, we've been to the Middle East, and we've been wherever is needed, including in this country when it was needed. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. May Allah Almighty accept from us. My brothers and sisters, imagine if we have to say sami'na wa ata'na to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't you think we will get a very high rank? What is the meaning of sami'na wa ata'na? When Allah's instructed something, we say we have heard and we have obeyed. We have heard and we have obeyed. Allah says, Salah, you will get up and push yourself. And for your information, you are not going to be able to better yourself unless you push yourself. Because Allah's given you a capacity. Shaitan keeps waswasa, waswasa, waswasa. What's that? He whispers in your ears. He massages you. He makes you want to do that. Don't worry. Allah's forgiving. Don't worry. Allah's. You have to push yourself to protect yourself from haram. And you have to push yourself to do the right thing. Without pushing yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. But I want to give you another piece of good news. See this body of mine. Allah's created it in a way that when you get it used to something, that thing starts happening without an effort. If you go to the gym, for example, you start picking weights. First few days, what happens? Hey, my muscle is paining. Hey, this is stretching. Oh, you know, I lifted 20 kgs. What? Keep going every other day, regularly. And what would happen? You would be a solid person, but it was the fact that you pushed yourself to go. You become addicted to it such that you cannot let go. But there was a time when you couldn't even start. That's why they say, do salah with jama'ah 40 days. See, with takbir, when the imam says, Allahu Akbar, you should be there standing. 40 days, if you haven't missed anything, a lot of the people say, Allah will help you to become so regular that when you're not there, you feel like something happened that's wrong. Force yourself to get up for Salatul Fajr. When you've done it for a few months, you know what will happen? You set your alarm. You'll get up 2 minutes before the alarm and switch the alarm off. Ask the people who do it. They will tell you, Wallahi, you are telling the truth. It's Allah. He made your body. Allah says, initially, I want to see. Are you coming? When you come to me, I will come to you faster than you. Hadith, hadith. Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwala. Whoever comes to me walking, I will rush towards him. But did you come walking? That's the question. Did you come walking? Don't lose yourself. We have the most beautiful deen. We have an amazing ummah. There is life in the ummah. There is. It's not all doom and gloom. There is. Look at us seated here in Gloucester. I did not expect this masjid to be full. In my mind, I thought to myself, subhanAllah, we'll go and meet a few brothers. I didn't even know there was an accident on the way. We were delayed a little bit. I messaged one brother. I told him, brother, we are only going to arrive after Salatul Maghrib. Perhaps they can fulfill the Maghrib and then we will come in. It was Allah's plan that there was a little accident on the road and it delayed us by quite a bit. Nonetheless, look at the ummah seated here, people from all over, different types of people, different faces, whoever. Wallahi, we love each other for the sake of Allah and Allah alone. Allah alone. If your life does not change tonight, then I don't know what you're going to answer to Allah. Because this is a masjid of Allah. We are here reminding each other just to go back to Allah, even if it's a few inches. Make one move tonight. One move, Allah will help you to make 10 other correct moves. If you don't make that one move, what's the point? Learn to have good friends. I see a lot of youngsters here. Wherever I'm going, a lot of young people, mashallah, sitting near the front as well. My advice to you is just to have good friends. Very good friends. Very, very good friends. If you have good friends, inshallah, do you know what will happen? You will grow in goodness. When you have bad friends, do you know what happens? Allahu Akbar, you become worse than them sometimes. And you don't even realize it. I always tell parents, you know what? Just ensure that you have the friends come over at your house rather than go to someone's house. I don't know them. Meet the parents perhaps of the person whom your kid's a friend of. If they're on a decent level, etc., like you, then you can trust a little bit this way, that way. You know, we have something known as a sleepover. Have you ever heard that word? Sleepover. They say, oh, let's go and have a sleepover at my friend's house. Don't ever do those. Never. No matter who, what, where, when, how. Don't do it. You regret it. I'm a counselor for years, 25 years, since 1999. And I can tell you one of the things that people have regretted terribly is to allow their girls to go and have a sleepover at another friend's house. That's it. You might think, oh, but it's simple. What are you talking about? You will know. You don't want to cry tears of blood one day. Leave it. You look after your kids yourself. May Allah bless you all and all of us. May Allah grant our children goodness. I see youngsters. Wallahi, I see hope. Wallahi, I see youngsters in the masjid coming right to the front to listen to a talk. I see hope. The elders need to really thank Allah. You guys have done a very good job by the will of Allah. You guys have done a good job. The parents have done a good job. Given the circumstances and the age we're living in and the surroundings, Allahu Akbar, for someone to come to the masjid is a big deal. It's a very, very big deal. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. Learn to participate in some halaqat. Learn to have a little group of people who are good. You know why? You can't survive alone. Even dunya in the world, if you want to earn money, you can't just earn money. It's not popcorn. It's not going to just start popping in your bag. Suddenly apply heat to it and you're going to pop, 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 pop. Hey, I got $1 million. No, you have to interact with people and do business. Someone might come into your shop that might do a deal worth £20,000, but you don't like his attitude. You're still going to smile. Why? Because you're getting the money. Am I right or wrong? Am I right? So what is more important, the deen or the dunya? You prepared to smile and behave nicely with someone who's ridiculous simply because they're giving you 20,000, but you're not prepared to talk to him properly for the sake of Allah, to come for salah or whatever else it may be. Without you talking, when you show you're a brilliant person, they will mark your life. It's automatic dawah. They will want to wonder. They will start wondering, what is it that is driving this person towards being so good and so kind, yet they're getting nothing from me? Wallahi, it's Allah. It's Allah. Allah is the one who brought me and taught me and gave me. Every instruction that Allah has ever laid down can only be a brilliant instruction. Allah cannot ask you to do something destructive ever. Never. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you this is haram, it means it came from Allah. And if it came from Allah and his messenger, it means the fact that they said it's haram, it is bad. That's what it is. It's not good. It's something as a believer you should not participate in. So now you and I have a test. What is the test? Are we going to improve ourselves? Are we going to improve our relationship with Allah? Are we going to connect and do the right things? I don't need to come here and read a list of halal and haram and do's and don'ts. You already know them. But I'm here to encourage you to say, this is the deen of Allah. We are fortunate to have it. Allah's favored us by allowing us to say, oh Allah, forgive me. Keep seeking the forgiveness of Allah. طُوبَى لِمَنْ وُجِدَ فِي صَحِيفَتِهِ اسْتِغْفَارًا كَثِيرًا. طُوبَى. Some explain, meaning those who explain the hadith, they say, it is a place in Jannah. A special place in Jannah for those in whose records there's a lot of istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive. You committed 50 sins, but you said istighfar 50,000 times. I'm not repeating it because I'm doubting Allah. Don't doubt Allah. Allah loves you. Allah is happy when you turn to Him. And I explain to you why He's happy. He's happy because you are doing it yourself, your own accord. He gave you the capacity. He created angel and Satan. And He created us in the middle. And He told us, I will give you the capacity. Yes, I've destined and I know what you will ultimately do. But I have given you a capacity. I've shown you the right and the wrong. I've told you to walk in the right direction and stay away from the wrong direction. Let's see what you will do. Go forth. A stupid example I can give you is that of football. You know the rules of football, right? When the whistle blows and the game starts, imagine someone from a team kicking the ball in the wrong direction. What will happen? That's what we're doing in our whole life. The whistle was blown. We're supposed to kick the ball towards Jannah. We're kicking it towards Jahannam. Exactly. So as much as you think it is silly for a footballer to be trying to kick the ball to score an own goal, that's what we're doing in real life. We're scoring own goals every day. Because you want to go to Jannah, but you're heading the other direction. May Allah not do it to me and not to you. So this is why when Allah tells you what to do, what not to do, if you fall, what will make you seek forgiveness? Nothing besides your connection with Allah. So Allah says, oh, I'm so happy that the angels had said, when Allah was creating Adam alayhi salam, the angels said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَا. Why are you creating someone on earth like this who is going to cause corruption and chaos and kill, spill blood on earth? Allah says, I know something you don't know. I know what I'm doing. I know better than you. That's Allah. What was it that Allah knew? Allah knows that insan, when he falters, he will regret it and go back to Allah and say, oh Allah, forgive me. Now, as we grow older, I want to give you very good news. Very, very good news. As we grow older, we start looking back and we regret what we did when we were younger. Because why? Now I'm older, I realize I am going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I did a lot of things in my point. I was young and energetic. There were times when I even forgot about Allah. It happens to a lot of people. Do you know what Allah says? Allah Almighty says, as He grants you age, He grants you forgiveness. As He makes you older, He gives you a bigger opportunity to turn to Him. When you turn to Him, He wipes out every single thing that you've ever done in your past completely and totally. And then Shaitan comes and says, no, you're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. So Allah says, La taqnatu min rahmatillahi. Be careful. Do not ever despair or doubt the mercy of Allah. No way. If you're doing that, you're falling into the trap of Shaitan. So anytime Shaitan makes you think that perhaps Allah did not forgive me, kick him out and say, no, Allah forgave me. And Allah says, I'll treat you the way you think of me. You think I forgave you? Forgiven. Hadith. May Allah Almighty bless us all. May Allah grant us the goodness of this world and the next. And truly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to help one another. We are an ummah. Today we are bleeding. It's true, we are. But at the same time, there are so many people standing up and doing things to try and help the ummah. We might not be able to solve every problem, but at least amongst us, we will try our best to, so that there is no problem, new one created in our midst. May Allah Almighty help us truly. Never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Tonight, whatever I have said, was short, concise, to the point. My main aim was to explain that Allah has favored us by giving us the opportunity to turn to Him, and He tells us He's going to convert the bad into good, and He has kept so many goodnesses that He will give the ones who turn to Him as soon as they hear, "I need to turn to Allah." Don't worry. Don't worry what people think. Change your life in a nice way. If you want to do it step by step, do it step by step, inshallah. Head in the right direction. You want to do it all at once, do it all at once. And Allah Almighty will really help you. When you come towards Allah, you get a contentment. And one of the signs that you are truly getting towards Allah is when you go easy on other human beings. Treat them respectfully. It's a sign that you are pious. Or you are getting there. Treat others well. You see someone, "Assalamu alaikum, my brother, how are you? Everything good? Alhamdulillah, I won't harm you. My tongue is not going to be used to harm you." That's the most important thing. You are humble. Allah says, "Ruhama'u bainakum." The believers are merciful towards one another. So show that mercy, and Allah Almighty will show you mercy. May Allah bless you all. Aqulu qawli hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanallahi bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.